I'm Dan Dreher, and this is Colorado Matters. The drought is not over, and to make sure you know it, Denver Water will hit customers with a whopping surcharge if they don't cut back water use this summer. The March blizzard did ease things, but officials won't be comfortable until reservoirs build back up to pre-drought levels. Joining us now is Denver Water Manager Chips Berry to talk about where things stand. Thanks for being with us.
Dan, glad to be here.
How do the surcharges work?
The surcharges work by assessing extra cost to the homeowner or the commercial customer when they go beyond acceptable levels, which are reduced because of the drought. And we for the individual homeowner, we have a sort of a seven-step increasing rate that will hit them in the pocketbook if they begin to use too much water.
What's the level? What's the acceptable level now?
Well, the acceptable level, surcharges will begin at 16,000 gallons. But let me talk about it a little bit more clearly in terms of what it does to a pocketbook and the philosophy behind it, and then it's easier to explain how it works. Our board has accepted a statement that says if you conserve water and comply with our restrictions, because we're going to have a series of restrictions, if you comply, your water bill should be less than it otherwise would be. Not a lot less, but a bit less than it would be. If you comply a little bit, but not fully, you'll get a surcharge, a penalty. And if you don't comply at all, the penalty will be bigger. So in a typical household, a family of four, they would normally have a $51 water bill in the summer. That's 44,000 gallons of use.
Over 2 months.
If they comply and reduce that to 27,000, their water bill will actually be $16 less than it otherwise would have been. But if they don't comply, they'll get a $70 surcharge. If they don't comply at all, they'll get like a $70 surcharge.
Break this out for us. 16,000 gallons
in
over.
In a two-month period. Then it goes up in increments, each one being 80 cents more or... Actually, there's a geometric element to that, so it goes up 80 and then 90 and et cetera, ending up at as much as, I think, almost $11 per 1,000 gallons at about 60,000 gallons in a two-month period.
How did you arrive at these numbers?
We looked at two things, human behavior, and then what we're trying to do is to reduce water usage appropriately under usage patterns dealing with both house size and number of people. And, you know, I don't think there's any great science in it. It's what kind of penalty does it take to have people alter their behavior? But at the same time, you want to be fair about it. You don't want to just go have a huge surcharge after they've gone 1 gallon over what we think the appropriate usage ought to be.
How did you look at the reservoirs and say, okay, we got this much or this little in the reservoirs? And so we're going up to something in the neighborhood of $12 for every 1,000 gallons of overuse.
Well, what we've targeted is a 30% reduction in use when we're in a stage 2 drought. Stage 2 is when you're between 40 and 60% reservoir capacity. And so we're trying to get 30% savings from the normal when we're in that reservoir range. And... you know, again, there's more art than science to this. I think the common knowledge is that a 10% increase in price will give you a 3% reduction in use. But we are not sure whether those rules hold the higher you put that price. You may get a bigger response, but there's some elements of water where the demand is relatively inelastic, meaning it doesn't matter how much you charge for it, people are still going to need to use some water. So we're cutting new territory here.
So what you're saying is that there needs to be a punishment of some sort. There needs to be a disincentive to use the water, but you don't want to just sock everybody with a high surcharge right away.
Exactly.
You want it to be building up over time. How did the blizzard affect your decisions about surcharges?
After the blizzard, I think we went back and looked at what we had proposed and said, you know, I think we can be a little less rigorous on people because the blizzard has, in fact, helped us quite a bit. And remember, we have two elements that we're using to reduce water consumption. One is water restriction rules that will go into effect probably the beginning of May, but that will tell people how much outdoor watering they could use and what those rules are going to be. And those decisions haven't been made yet. The blizzard will also affect them. And the second item we use is water surcharges, or the cost of water. So we looked at what had originally been a fairly steep escalating curve and reduced it somewhat.
If you just tuned in, Chips Berry is our guest. He's the manager of Denver Water. The blizzard probably convinced a lot of people that the worst is over and they'll have a chance to do a little bit of watering before they get a bill and realize the surcharges, don't you think?
Well, I think people believe that the drought, some may believe that the drought is over, although there's a surprising degree of sophistication in our customer base, and they realize that this helped a lot, but it didn't refill all the reservoirs, and we have to wait until the end of June before we see exactly how full they are.
Why not go to monthly billing?
We'd like to go to monthly billing, and in fact, we are on track to do that, but in order to do that, we need to complete the conversion of our system to something called automatic meter reading devices, and that will replace 40 or 50 meter readers who go around and read the routes every 2 months. And when we go to automatic meter reading, we can drive down the street and read all the meters in that street in about 30 seconds. And when that's done, we'll go to monthly billing.
How easy is it for a household to find ways to cut water use as much as you're hoping people will?
Well, we have been actually quite surprised at the success that many people have had in cutting water usage. It really consists of paying attention to how you use it, and particularly outdoor usage, and understanding that your grass can use less, can get by with less than you may have been putting on it in the past. I don't think it's always easy for customers to figure all that out. One of the things I'd like to work on is some sort of method that people can have a visual reading of their own as to how much water they're using. We're also working on that, but that's going to be slow coming.
But are people really going to be able to avoid surcharges by letting it mellow a couple of times and taking a 5-minute shower a few times a month?
I think people will be able to avoid surcharges if they follow the watering restriction rules that we have established. This surcharge scheme should protect everyone who complies from having to pay a surcharge or very much surcharge.
Why do you need to put outdoor watering restrictions in place if you're going to be able to try and convince people to control their own water with surcharges?
Because we think it takes both. And we don't want to create a situation where people can think that, oh, I've got more money than somebody else, therefore I can buy my way out of the drought. We all have to share in this pain, and that's one reason we have rules. If you just have surcharges, people who have more money will say, well, I can afford to use as much water as I want, and I'm going to do it. That's one reason you do both of these.
Well, are businesses facing surcharges too?
Businesses are also facing surcharges. It's not done on the basis of gallon consumption. It's done on the basis of comparison of your consumption against a baseline year, which in most cases will be 2001. Your surcharge will kick in if you use more than 70% of what you used in 2001. That's the first level. And the second level will be if you use more than 100% of what you used in 2001.
What happens if they just get more customers, say, or need to increase their production lines and therefore use more water?
Then they're probably going to pay anyway. Because what we're trying to do is reduce water usage, and more customers means they'll have more money.
Is that a disincentive? I mean, I could see how people at home would see it as a disincentive. Do businesses just say, well, that's just tough. That's what we have to do. We'll just pay the surcharge.
And they may do that, although we've got, again, very good cooperation from many businesses who are working hard to reduce their consumption. And so we've built in a little bit of flexibility there that if they can make a compelling case to us, we could use a different year than 2001 as their baseline. If they put in a whole lot of conservation machinery in 2000 and 2001, therefore they already use less water, we'll talk to them about using a different year.
Are you worried about penalizing them, especially during an economic downturn?
Not at the current levels. I think we'll be okay. But I do think that's a consideration. But again, our concern is we simply have to make sure we have enough water for the community.
More proof that the March blizzard did not end the drought. Denver Water will hit customers who don't curb their water use by 30% with a surcharge this summer. Today we're talking with Denver Water Manager Chips Berry. Now, Denver Water is also interested in recycling water. How does that work?
We are about 80% of the way to completion of a water recycling plant, costing us about $100 million. It's being built north of Denver on the South Platte River. We will take the effluent that comes out of the Denver Metropolitan Sewage Plant. We will treat that water again to a non-potable, but if you drank it, it wouldn't hurt you. And that will be put into a second set of pipes that will feed the public service company and many of the parks and irrigated spaces in and around Denver.
How do you respond to people who say Denver Water is coming to this very late in the game? The recycling water plant should have been built years ago. We're in a desert, for crying out loud, and that the surcharges should have been there, and two-day week watering outside should have been there.
Well, I'd say on the water recycling plant, that's been in the design stage, and we've been working on that for 8 or 9 years, and we actually accelerated the construction of it because we thought it was very important. But people need to understand that you can't recycle all the water in Colorado. You can only recycle the water that comes from a different basin, which means the West Slope water can be recycled, but the South Platte water cannot. And that means that there's a limited amount of water that can actually be recycled.
But has Denver Water contributed to the problem with all of these transplants from back east who are accustomed to watering at will because it's the resource is more widely available there? They've come here. In the past years, Denver Water hasn't slapped surcharges on people and hasn't reinforced that we're in a high desert climate.
Well, actually, I think Denver Water has one of the best water conservation programs in the country. We invented the term Xeriscape. We have Xeriscape seminars. We've written 3 books about Xeriscape. We actually have a very advanced water conservation program. We don't have surcharges as a normal course of events because we have a city charter that requires water rates to be based on the cost of providing the service. And in a time of drought, we think we have the ability to surcharge. But not in times of drought, I think the water rate you pay has to be based on the cost of providing the water.
So let's say the rains come through June, let's say, like they're supposed to, and reservoirs are back up to comfortable levels. Don't you need to sell water then?
We won't have any trouble selling water. We never have had a problem selling water. There's plenty of demand, and we have built into our rate structure enough flexibility so that if it's wet and people aren't using a lot of water, we can absorb that kind of a revenue shock, and because it comes back in a dry year.
So if people are conserving and not paying you as much money, Denver Water doesn't suffer economically?
Over the long run, it comes out even. It may be a 6 or 8 year period, but our rates are set on the basis of a theoretical normal year, which we've never had. So some years we overcollect and some years we undercollect, and it comes out even in the long run.
Do you think this drought will have created long-term change in the way people in Metro Denver use water?
Yes, I do. I think we will see a great deal more awareness of outdoor water use, a great deal more awareness of less water-conserving landscape techniques and practices, and people will learn that they don't need to water their lawn as much as they have. And I expect to see perhaps a 10% permanent reduction in water use. I'm guessing at that, but I think there will be a long-term effect. And we also see some changes in local ordinances that may restrict how much grass you can install.
So even if we see a wet year by some miracle, then people will still be in the habit of conserving, as your forecast there?
Well, remember, a wet year to me means that it rains a lot and therefore people don't want to use or don't need to use a lot of water. The more typical example would be a sort of average year, and you're asking if people would use less water in that average year after the drought than they would have before, and I think the answer may well be yes.
I'm just wondering if people are going to flush their toilets more if it's pouring rain outside or take a 10-minute shower instead of a 5.
Well, I think they will. I don't expect any permanent change in toilet flushing. Showering, I don't know. I think we'll probably go back to the old patterns. I think it'll be outdoor use where you'll see the change.
Will your household quit cutting back once this is over?
Well, my household has already taken about 75% of our lawn out. That's been done over the course of 15 years. We have maybe 2 or 3,000 square feet of lawn, where we used to have 10. And so that change is permanent. Am I going to keep a bucket in my shower permanently? I don't know. Ask me in another year, I'll tell you, Dan.
Chips, thanks for your time today.
Appreciate being here, Dan.
Chips Berry is the manager of Denver Water.